Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. For the first time today, a federal appeals court has ruled parts of the Defense of Marriage Act unconstitutional.
The ruling, handed down by the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston, found that the law, commonly referred to as DOMA, violates the Constitution by denying federal benefits to married gay couples.
The decision all but guarantees that the battle over DOMA will end up before the highest court in the land, a fact the appellate judges explicitly acknowledged in the ruling today, writing, "Only the Supreme Court can finally decide this unique case."
For further analysis on what might happen if the Supreme Court does indeed take up the case, we're joined by Emily Bazelon, senior editor at Slate. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Emily.
Thanks so much for having me.
So the First Circuit ruled today that the benefits portion of DOMA is unconstitutional. What was the rationale behind the ruling?
The rationale behind the ruling is that Congress just did not have a good enough reason to essentially discriminate. The court doesn't use that word, but essentially discriminate against same-sex married couples by preventing them from receiving federal benefits in Massachusetts, which, of course, has legalized same-sex marriage.
In fact, the court explicitly writes that under current Supreme Court authority, Congress's denial of federal benefits to same-sex couples lawfully married in Massachusetts has not been adequately supported by any permissible federal interest. So really, they were swayed by the state's rights arguments in this case.
That's right. It was a combination of arguments. One concern of theirs was whether Congress was essentially disparaging gays and lesbians by treating them differently in passing the Defense of Marriage Act. And that's a rationale for passing a law. The Supreme Court has talked about animus against disadvantaged groups. That's a rationale that's not allowed. And then the other issue in this case is that it's really states who traditionally control the laws of marriage and divorce, and the federal government is supposed to take a backseat in this context. And so that was another reason that the court found to worry that DOMA just goes too far in intruding on the state's prerogative.
But on the other hand, the First Circuit today didn't rule on the portion of DOMA that says states without same-sex marriage that they can't be forced to recognize gay unions.
That's exactly right. And that's why this case is such an important vehicle from the point of view of the gay rights movement, because it's really an incremental step toward widespread recognition of same-sex marriage. In other words, what's at issue here is in states like Massachusetts, where same-sex marriage is legal, then what are the responsibilities of the federal government? Does the government have to follow the states? As opposed to the idea of a much more sweeping change where states that have not voted yet in any way or had a court ruling to legalize same-sex marriage would have that pushed on them.
Now, looking forward, the First Circuit today said that its ruling only applies to states within the circuit, and that even given that, the ruling wouldn't be enforceable until the Supreme Court actually gives ultimate decision on the case. Why is that?
Judge Boudin, who's a very careful judge, wrote this decision, and he said, look, it's clear that the Supreme Court, sooner or later, is going to have to weigh in about the constitutionality of the Defense of Marriage Act and of same-sex marriage. And so we are not going to start enforcing this law before we give the Supreme Court a chance to speak up and tell us if we've gotten it right.
Okay, Emily, I know it's a little hazardous to do any predictions when it comes to the highest court in the land, but let's do it anyway. Do you think that the Supremes will take up this DOMA question?
I think they will have to take up DOMA because we're going to start to have different kinds of circuit court rulings around the country that likely won't all go in the same direction, what's called a circuit split. And one of the good things about this decision from a gay rights point of view is that there were two Republican-appointed judges who voted against upholding DOMA. And so that's a useful precedent to take up to the Supreme Court.
Let's talk about that a little because, you know, here we have a case where some states' rights are essentially affirmed by the First Circuit over federal authority. And I wonder if that's a legal standpoint that would hold amongst the Supreme Court justices themselves. I mean, Justice Samuel Alito, when he was a judge on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, very often voted in favor or ruled in favor of states' rights over federal rights. Do you think that would hold in the case of DOMA?
It's a really good question. You know, this is where you can have kind of competing values or competing sets of jurisprudential principles. You can have judges who care a lot about states' rights but are also very skeptical about gay marriage. And then you have this question of which of those concerns is going to trump the other.
So, Emily, let's talk about one more potential justice on the court. I mean, a lot of people that I've read say that if indeed the Supremes do take up DOMA, that it would probably end up in the classic 5-4 decision, which seems sort of par for the course these days at the high court. But what might happen to Justice Anthony Kennedy? I mean, he's seen as a swing vote here.
You're right. And this kind of case is really very well pitched to Justice Kennedy to overturn DOMA if he's inclined to do that, because the underlying cases that were concerned about animus against gays and lesbians, those are decisions that Justice Kennedy wrote himself. And so the First Circuit ruling today really relies on the precedents that he set.
Romer v. Evans in 1996 and Lawrence v. Texas, those two key cases you're referring to.
Exactly.
Okay. So overall, where do you see this now in terms of the slow march that it seems the country has been taking towards an expansion of gay marriage rights across the United States?
You know, these cases about benefits are much less sexy than the big trial about gay marriage that we had in California, but they're legally incredibly important, and that's because lawyers and judges often like unsexy cases. They would prefer to move incrementally, and so I think these cases are tremendously useful in that regard.
Emily Bazelon is senior editor at Slate. Emily, thanks so much. Always great to have you.
Thank you.